This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? That was a close one. Nice and nervy game down in Rome, down at the Stadio Olimpico. Rome 3, Manchester United 2. Manchester United advance to the Europa League final in Gdansk, Poland. 8-5 on aggregate. How we feeling? Ole's first final. You ready to win the thing?
Sir, we knew it. The semifinal curse was broken. Ole gets his job done. Boy, is Cavani looking like a worldie of a player. Need him to stay, absolutely. Look, we lost the game. Garbage time, deflection goal. You know, it is what it is, sir, but we're on. Guess who isn't? That's right, the Gunners. We all wanted to beat Arsenal in the final. At least I did. But we're going to be playing the Yellow Submarine Villarreal, sir. What do you make of them?
Sir, they're going to be a classic Spanish opponent. We had to do it a couple times already on the road to Gdansk, sir. But, you know, it's going to be some shithousery. They got some players. They got a pretty good center back that we have been attached to, at least in the press for a while. And, you know, they want to be playing in Europe next year. It's a great opportunity for them to do so because they're not doing it via La Liga. I think they're at seventh at the moment, sir. But anything can happen in a cup final, baby. I tell you what, we can't play like we played today or we're going to be in trouble.
Look, this isn't as nervy as, I mean, first of all, it's the wrong European competition. It's sad to see both the Chelsea scum and the shitty in the final of the actual European competition you want to win. Love all English finals. This is probably the most distasteful all English final I've ever heard of, sir. So going to be a neutral on that one. Going to be a neutral on that one. But obviously, when we played Ajax in the Europa League, that one felt like they were kind of a hitter. I really felt like they had a shot. Villarreal, we should mow them over. I'm not concerned. You look at the team now, they're healthy. They're playing great. I mean, Bruno, Cavani, even Rashford coming on. Everyone's looking sharp. Everyone's well-rested after that, you know, little delay in the past weekend. So team's looking like they're going to win another piece of silverware, add to the greatest trophy cabinet in all of England, sir.
Sir, we are healthy at the moment, but, you know, they did reschedule that Liverpool game, excuse me, the Scouse Bastard game, and the schedule is a little tight over the next 2 weeks on the road to Gdansk. My only concern is if Ole doesn't rotate like he needs to, we could have some injuries pop up, some big ones, and we can't have that happen. We do got to finish strong in the league, but it's a huge final. You know, we should finish strong in the league, win the thing, but like you said, Villarreal, you know, they're the team you wanted to play, actually, in a sense. You think Arsenal will be a stronger side, but it's a team that we have to be beaten. So the boys are going to be up for it. The boys are going to be up for it.
The only thing better than AFTV ranting about losing to Villarreal in the Europa League semifinal would be them ranting about losing to us in the final, sir. And I wanted to see that. You know, it just makes the final that much more special when you're just ripping the heart out of Arsenal fans who need to win it for Champions League football. That would just be amazing, you know? Smashing them 4-1, just like we used to, sir. The good old days are back. Sir Alex is back at the wheel.
Certainly feels like it. You know what? This is the beginning of a good start for Ole. It's all about that first piece of silverware. We're seeing progress in the league. Got to finish second. Got to stay ahead of Leicester. Stay ahead of Chelsea scum who are making a move, sir. Everybody's hot on Tuchel. But either way, it's all about finishing strong. Today had a little bit nervy, you know. I hate to say it, this is gonna be the
David De Gea has saved us.
That's gonna be the sound bite of the day, because De Gea, he earned his money. Kind of looked like that Gunners match. I don't know if you remember from like 4 years ago under Mourinho, where he was just getting peppered with shots, where they still had Sanchez before we made that horrible swap deal. It felt like a little bit like that. We were just kind of all over the place, all out of sorts, letting Roma push forward. But like you said, it's all that matters is we're moving on to the final.
Sir, the swap deal that ruined promo videos for every transfer signing. Sanchez playing the piano, sir. I couldn't come to playing the piano since. Look, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. We are completely fan-supported. We do not have any private sponsorships on this pod. If you want to support us, the best way to do so is www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We post monthly behind-the-scenes episodes regularly up there. We have a mailbag for all fans. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We have different tiers, giving away shirts, pins, stickers, scarves, you name it. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have some great Glazers Out merchandise, and we have our 2021 limited edition scarf on sale. Get it while it's hot, sir. They're going fast, and there's only 100 of them made, so they're almost out. It features all the trophies we won on the back. It's an awesome scarf. Hopefully, you have to update that scarf with the Europa League. So tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they cost absolutely $0. And it's a great way for us to be found organically. This is what you got to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got cheeky banner, even better. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free Stanley Chow design stickers, true Manc, absolutely free to your door. Great way to support the pod. Doesn't cost a single dollar. What else we got, sir? You ready to hop into this game?
Sir, Hans and Franz, they're going to be spinning this beat. We ready?
Let's go. Sir, you know, when people go back to a shade of normalcy, you know, outside the COVID pandemic world, you'll be hearing this beat in the clubs, bro. I'd be like, you walking by a club, I'd hear this song, and I'd just be like, that is a hot beat. Because at the beginning of the season, I want nothing to do with it, but it is the song of the summer, sir. Song of the summer.
Summer's almost here, sir. What a match. Roma 3, Manchester United 2. But we go on 8-5 on aggregate at the Stadio Olimpico. Europa League semifinals, leg 2, sir. I thought it was done and dusted, but like you said, Dave Says really had to do some work here in that number one spot. If you're going to get peppered, that's your strategy as a team. De Gea is your keeper. Let's get into that 11. Like I said, Dave Says, world number one in net. Luke Shaw, left back. Maguire, by center back pairing. Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fred Van de Beek midfield? Are you kidding me, Ole? Finally? Pogba, Fernandes in the hole. Greenwood on the right. Cavani up top. Sir, how'd you rate that lineup?
I like this lineup. You know, I think you called it. You said he's not going to make that many changes. I think I threw a lineup out that was like basically all starting 11 other than Bruno Maguire, but he really only made a couple changes, one being Bailly versus Lindelof. And obviously, we haven't seen Van de Beek playing where usually McTominay plays, but otherwise, it's a strong 11. You know, this should be able to clearly do out the job against Roma with the lead that we went into this game with. I'm glad we went relatively strong, sir, because we needed it.
Sir, I love the lineup. And Donny Van de Beek in the playing with Fred. I love it.
Even though he didn't really play with Fred, actually. You know, the way they showed this 11, thinking that Pogba would play on the wing, he actually dropped more of a midfield holding role. Hold on a second, sir. Sorry. What a song. What a song. I love it. I love every second of it. All I was saying is Pogba actually kind of dropped down into the midfield, playing next to Fred. Donny was more up forward, kind of where Pogba's been playing along Fernandes. I don't know if that helped us or hurt us today, sir. But either way, it was quite a game.
No, absolutely. I mean, this game is so back and forth, sir. I'm not jealous of the highlights you had to pull together. Let's get into it.
Roma came out to play. They were attacking United from the onset. High press. They were really going for it. This is quite a match breakdown. So the third minute, Bailly absolutely murdered Mkhitaryan. Like classic Eric Bailly tackle. And then a free kick resulted in De Gea's first great save of the day. Close range. He made like so many saves within the box. And this was the first of many. 18th minute, AWB marked another Roma player, gets a yellow, which is rare for him. He usually gets those tackles in right. But he was pushing forward. Guess who had a great cross in the 20th minute? It was Fred. Fred found Cavani with an excellent ball over the top. And then Cavani tries to dink the goalkeeper. He hits the top crossbar. Should have been a first early goal. There were a lot of goals in this game either way. But Cavani could have, you know, made an impact early. He has some chances today.
Cavani on fire, sir. I mean, first of all, Fred with a great ball in, but Cavani with the dink. I mean, filthy dink from Cavani off the crossbar. Oh, my God. I wish this went in. He knew what it meant. I mean, Cavani, dude. Dude, El Matador. Like, please, sign him up. Sign him up right now.
Sign the ting. He really needs to. He's such a player. Speaking of which, 26 minute, you know who else is a player? Bruno Fernandes. He finds Cavani with an unbelievable curved ball. Cavani ends up stinging the goalkeeper's hands, hit him right in the face almost. And the goalkeeper just put his hands up to block it. But another good early chance. United didn't look bad. It certainly looked good on the attack as Roma were throwing players forward.
Cavani's movement is relentless. You watch him. He's always moving. He's getting into spaces. And for players like Bruno Fernandes and occasionally Fred, when he can find a pass, he's absolutely lethal. Edison Cavani. I mean, it's a masterclass.
It was. He's such a top player. Means so much to the side. Proper number nine. Sir, 31st minute, Mickey. Mkhitaryan misses a good chance after United are caught out. He ends up being offsides. Absolutely whiffs the header, but this was a sign of things to come. United were caught out many times, especially in the second half. Led to a big save from De Gea again. 34th minute, a huge save from De Gea to keep it 0-0. But Eddie Cavani had his say in the 39th minute.
Now Cavani threw on goal and finishing in style.
So they didn't have the Telemundo equivalent call. But I was watching the Telemundo equivalent that was covering this game, and it was a hell of a call. Hell of a goal. Nice finish from Cavani. Great pass from Fred. Fred the Red. In the first half, he looked pretty solid. Not so much in the second, but what a goal from Eddie.
No, totally. I mean, he almost had two before this. I mean, Cavani, it was threatening all half. This is end-to-end stuff. If you're a football fan, this is a match you love to see. And you love to see El Matador getting his goal, sir. It looked like he could have had a Hattie today.
Could have had a Hattie in the first half, sir. Speaking of a player that, you know, is learning a thing or two from hanging out with Eddie Cavani, Greenwood, 41st minute, had a really good chance, pulls it just wide, goes just wide of the crossbar. And then on the other end, this was an end-to-end game, like unbelievable. 41st minute, Dave saves again, huge save, close range, but he was blocking everything that came his way. And then 45th minute plus second, plus two, right before the end of the first half, really nice link-up play. Donnie was involved in this, as well as Cavani, as well as Bruno. He goes just wide after, like, almost putting in a peach of a curler to end the first half.
Totally. Totally. I mean, like, great performance from United, up 1-0, you know, going to half. I thought, you know, there were a good amount of chances, but De Gea looks in form, and so is Cavani. So I thought we would be winning this handily.
You know, I think Ole thought the same thing, sir. You know, at halftime, I don't know what he's saying to the boys, but you're halfway there. You know, you're three quarters of the way there. Let's do the thing. Obviously, he was intending to make some subs because he did coming into second half.
Here's your lineup here. I said he'd sub on the Williamses of the world. You know, this guy's starting in the Williamses of the world. We would have been in trouble in this tie if we went with your lineup, sir.
We would have been in big trouble. We probably would have lost today by enough of a margin to actually not make it to the final, sir, because Williams and Telles, like you said, came on for AWB and Shaw, and I think that made such a huge difference because they were so much more threatening going down the wing. Defensively, they just, you know, they're not as good. That's why they're backups. But either way, those are the subs that were made entering the second half, i.e. Alex Telles. He did have one nice move, 55th minute, put in a great ball. Nobody could quite get at the end of it. And then the Roma barrage began, sir, in the 57th minute. Everybody's least favorite former City player, Dzeko.
Mkhitaryan. Pedro. And Dzeko pounces.
Sir, sloppy stuff from United. Caught out again. Not closing down their players. And then kind of a bounce pass. Dzeko just buries it. 1-1.
Look, Dzeko is like cleaning it all up in front of the net. I mean, he's done this all tournament. If you watch the highlights of Roma coming in, I mean, you know, man, shitty, you know, haunting us here. But, you know, 1-1, I'm not that worried. But it's 3 minutes later, sir. It's like, now I'm worried.
Sir, after this one in the 60th minute, I was starting to worry.
Dzeko. Fred, caught in possession. What a finish that is from Brian Cristante. Well, two goals.
So you saw the best and the worst of Fred today all in one game. Put in some passes like, you know, I haven't even seen Fred do before, honestly, in the first half. And then this is a classic Fred giveaway, edge of the box. Good finish from the Roma player, but they were smelling blood. They knew they had a chance because United looked rattled, wasn't playing their normal starting 11. So 2-1, I was starting to sweat a little bit.
Sir, it's the, you know, you get to the 61st, Dave saves. 62nd, Dave saves. I mean, I wasn't concerned at 2-1, but after De Gea is starting to bail us out even more here, we were kind of, this is like bend, don't break stuff for Manchester United. I'm getting nervy. All of a sudden, Ole sub, Modric for Pogba. We need to, like, shored up at the back. You'd love to see that from Ole. He made the right move. I thought, you know, we looked much more stable after that. But that 5 to 10 minutes where we can see those goals and De Gea was coming with those saves, that was really nervy.
David De Gea has saved us.
We can laugh about it now, but honestly, you're right. Between the 57th minute goal and then the sub with Matic coming on in the 64th for Paul Pogba, dude, we could have, I mean, you know, a lesser keeper might have leaked 4 goals in like 10 minutes, like a ridiculous amount, because they were just, we looked like we didn't know what we were doing. We looked like RB when RB took our lunch in that half, that first half of football, when we had not leak 3 goals. But like you said, Matic came in. That was a big difference because it did shore up shop. 64th minute, Bruno had a nice hit after a good play with Donny. Nice to see him pushing forward a little bit more. 66th minute, Greenwood. Great opportunity. Kind of misses a sitter for him. Usually you would see him finishing something like this. 68th minute, sir. Eddie Cavani gave us a little bit of breathing room. This is another nice goal that deserves a Spanish call.
Bruno Fernandes, Cavani.
A great ball from Bruno. Who else? Great finish. You know, he's not missing this one. Missed some decent chances, or at least could have made a little bit more of it earlier in the game. But Eddie Cavani gets his brace. Great goal, just when they needed it.
Totally. And this one, you know, everyone calm down. Calm down. That's what we need for Manchester United right now. It's like our man, our main man, our number nine, just like absolutely shining out there. And he makes us such a better team. We were watching this team all season. Where are the goals? Where's the goals? Martial struggling, obviously, to get injured, but then Cavani was injured, and now he comes back and he's in form. And man, he's going to win us a final. He's the man to win us the final.
No, he's a player. I mean, it's like, you know, Paul Pogba couldn't do it all on his own. Bruno couldn't do it all on his own. Him and Cavani, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Cavani are making quite a partnership. You also see what else he offers, sir. He's a pit bull. In the 72nd minute, Cavani backs up Greenwood. Basically, Greenwood gets in like a scuffle. A bunch of Roma players start pushing him, and Cavani like gets right up in their faces in between Greenwood. It kind of popped off a little bit. I think Cavani got a yellow. I think the right back for Roma got a yellow, but good to see that, right? Standing up for his boy. They're developing a little bit of a master apprentice type relationship. But what's not to like about Cavani, sir?
Totally. I mean, you know, he's got it, dude. He's got it all, and he loves his team. This team loves him, and I want him playing in front of fans, sir. You know, at this level, it's like he's at such a high level. Like, why leave Europe now? You know, it's like you got it. You should play another season, another two. Like, we need Cavani to be that transition number nine, so we don't have to go spend the money for Haaland that we don't have, sir.
We ain't got it.
All the clickbait titles, they'll make you think we got it, and we don't.
We don't got it. It's true. Like we said, 72nd minute, Rashford came on Cavani. What a game. Saving him for the weekend, I hope. Mkhitaryan, he could have had a couple of goals today, sir, if he was on form. But 74th minute, he hits the post. More nervy stuff. And then the 83rd minute, you know, they made it really kind of nervy for those last 10 minutes. Here we go. Goal Roma.
Something to dig out the cross, which has been deflected in. Zalewski, the 19-year-old, on his European debut, will try and claim the goal, but that surely will go down as an own goal.
bounces off, I believe, Harry Maguire. Also, he looked like he was off sides, but they didn't even take a look at it. So it's a 3-goal lead at this point. Getting a little nervy. How are you feeling after this one went in?
Sir, I was just looking at the clock. Like, let's go. Like, hurry up. Countdown.
Counted down. 84th minute. Ole saving his star man. Mata came on for Bruno. What a game he had. Last bit of nervousness. 86th minute. Dave saves again. United were all over the place. You know, looked a little nervy at the end. I think Roma were pushing once they got the third goal in the game. But either way, that is all she wrote, sir. United do the job. 8-5, excuse me, on aggregate. Headed to Gdansk for the Europa League final. Feeling fine indeed.
Look, hell of a match breakdown, sir. You did a great job. I mean, the chances creation in this game, unbelievable. The moments in this match, I mean, almost an instant classic, even though we lost. But in context of, like, the position, you know, subs at halftime, et cetera, like, it was a great game of football end to end, you know, and it has to be said, De Gea bailed us out. You know, De Gea, everyone's kind of hot on Hendo, but, you know, shot stopper. Is there a better, like, pure reflex, close range keeper in the world? That's why I say world number one, David De Gea. You know, he might not be able to play it with his feet, but when it comes to that cat-like reflex, he's got it, sir.
Sir, he's elite in that. You know, we used to get peppered a lot more under some previous managers when our defense wasn't so good. Maybe it's because our midfield, that, you know, that anchor that's usually Fred and McTominay, has played so well. But today it was like it was like that Arsenal game at the Emirates where he did the double save against Sanchez. You know, he was just like getting absolutely peppered, but he made so many good reflex saves that made the difference today. Sorry, maybe he still has a role to play this United side.
Absolutely. Match stats. Roma 53% of the ball, if you can believe it, to our 47. Shots from Roma 22 to our 13. Shots on target, Roma 12. That's what I'm talking about, from De Gea to our 5. I mean, they came at us, sir. I mean, they threw everything in the kitchen sink. They had to. And you know what? If not for David De Gea, it might have worked. Match reaction, the total of 13 goals over two legs is the biggest tally in a UEFA Cup or Europa Cup semifinal. Manchester United made it to their first major final in any competition under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Absolutely, sir. The curse has been broken. No one's going to talk about those semifinals that we lost after we suffered 4 previous cup defeats under the Norwegian, 2 league cups. I mean, do those really count? Energy League cups? I mean, does anyone care that City wins those? 1 FA Cup and 1 Europa League. Manchester United are only the second side in UEFA Cup / European League history to score 8-plus goals across 8 legs of a semifinal tie. And Manchester United progressed to their 8th major European final, with the Scouse Bastards, the only English team with more. That would be 14. And Manchester United's Edinson Cavani is the first player to score 2-plus goals in both legs of a 2-leg semifinal in a major European competition since Klaus Alfos for Cologne versus KSV Wergrim, sir, in the 85-86 UEFA Cup. I mean, what a cup that was, the 85-86 cup there.
What a player, Klaus, you know, top player, sir. Eddie
Santa
Cavani.
Klaus, baby.
He should be Santa proud. Klaus. Big footsteps.
Sir, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Aside from David, what about the rest of the game? The errors in the second half, which led to the goals. What have you?
At the moment, you don't really want to analyze too much. But I was disappointed with, of course, conceding so many shots and so many goals. It was always going to be an open game because they had to score goals, and that was going to make it a chance for us to create chances. I think both teams could have scored 5 more. So it could have easily been 6-6, 7-6. It could have been a different scoreline. But for me now, the main thing is we're in the final. We know we have to play better than this. But we're here because we've had a centre forward score 4 goals during the tie, during the 2 legs. And Edinson shows again why we want to keep him at Old Trafford.
Simon Stern of BBC. Is there a sense of satisfaction
with reaching
the final, given so many people
have
doubted you?
You're always happy, no matter whatever anyone thinks about me. When you get to a final, even if you've been praised or criticised, whatever, it doesn't really matter. When you're in a final, you've got a chance to win the competition you're in. So it's nothing to do with me personally. I'm so happy for the boys to that they've got something to look forward to that end of the season.
Okay, a follow-up one.
So there you go. You got to like the move by Ole. I think that's a masterclass in giving Eddie Cavani. He obviously praised De Gea, but even giving Eddie Cavani some praise, right? Because he's trying to keep him around. People say it's close, but it ain't done until it's done. That's what we know about business. So good on Ole. And also just the humility, right? Like that Simon Stone loaded question about people doubting him. And he's just, it's not about me. It's about the boys. You know, excited to have something to look forward to. It's true. It's going to be fun to have a cup final to look forward to. It's too bad it's a Wednesday at noon Pacific. But other than that, let's go.
No, totally. It's Wednesday, noon Pacific, sir. Are we getting together to watch the final or what?
We'll see. I certainly hope so.
Sir, let's do it. It'll be a treat. Before we get into our next match, sir, let's break down the table. Obviously, you know, shitty 80 points. The greatest team ever, Manchester United, sir. Hashtag lasers out. 67, Leicester City, 63, Chelsea scum, 61. We've played 33 matches, though. Remember, there was a little protest at Old Trafford. So, you know, game in hand. I'm feeling confident about second place, but it starts – cementing that second place starts during our next match, which is against Aston Villa at Villa Road, sir. You know, this was the team we were going to support if Manchester United joined the Super League. I think we decide on Aston Villa mainly because of Jack Grealish's calves. I you have to correct me if I'm wrong there.
We were on the fence. It was, you know, such a fast – that Monday post-Super League announcement where everybody was in a dark place, all Manchester United fans. I don't know if we had decided, but we were leaning a certain way. But anyway,
well, it was either Aston Villa or Brighton because you like the meat pies at the Amex Stadium. I remember you had like three of those. So, you know,
a number goes up. That's like that Fisher story. You know, like the fish always gets bigger the more you tell that story. It was like a pie and a thing of gravy. Then it was two pies. Now it's three pies. I ate them out of pies.
I think I saw this guy stack four pies on top of each other. Eat them all in one go, sir.
Like, who's that goalie that you know Arsenal played like years ago and he ate a pie on TV is I think part of a bet. I can give that guy a run for his money.
You know, it's this guy likes his meat pie. Either way, big game. Allen Road, sir, Sunday, May 9th. We got to get up early, 6:05 a.m. Pacific. Let's go. Early wake up, 9:05 a.m. Eastern. Not sure why they got that extra 5 minutes for us, but always keeping us honest on these kickoffs. Lifetime versus Villa, we've won 100, we've drawn 40, we've lost 49. First time we ever played is 1892, Newton Heath versus Villa. We won 2-0 in the first division, sir. If you can believe it, Villa's form coming in, beat Fulham, lost to Liverpool, lost to City. They almost did the job there. Then 2-2, they scored early against City. I was hoping they could do something for the title race. 2-2 versus West Brom. And then they recently beat Everton, which was a good show. I mean, Everton, they're kind of up and down. They're kind of yo-yoing these days. But coming into this game, Villa always shows up, sir. I believe Jack Grealish is injured, though. But they're a strong team.
Dude, they're a strong team. They're well-drilled defensively, high work rate. They didn't play a game midweek, so they're ready to go. They always want to beat United. I can't remember that. I can't remember the name of the striker, but he's in good form. They got a lot of dangerous pieces, even without Grealish playing. So, dude, we can't underestimate him. You know, I don't think you're going to see the same 11 you saw today, but I think United, we got a lot of games, my man. We have like three games in 5 days, right? We play Villa on Sunday, we play Leicester on Tuesday, and then we play the Scousers on Thursday. So, Ole has to rotate. Even if he doesn't like to rotate, he has to.
Sir, are you saying the pod never sleeps? Are you telling me I'm busy next week?
Busy. I hope you don't have anything else going on in your life, my boy, because we got some pods to do.
Sir, I do not. Pod is priority over many things. Aston Villa have picked up just one win in their last 44 Premier League matches against Manchester United. Sir, we own them. Let's slap them around the pitch at their house. And we are unbeaten 24 Premier League away matches, three behind Arsenal's top flight record between 2003 and 2004. We are also unbeaten in 21 matches at Villa Park in all competitions, last losing there in 1995, if you can believe it. And Bruno Fernandes, he has scored in both of his Premier League matches against Villa. So look for Bruno, maybe bet him to score. Both goals came from the penalty spot, though, and you can make sure you should pray to the VAR gods that Bruno will be stepping to the spot once again. little history about Aston Villa Football Club. They are based in Aston, Birmingham, founded in 1874. They played at their home ground, Villa Park, since 1897, sir. Prince William, big fan of Aston Villa. And in 1874, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis receive a U.S. patent for blue jeans with copper rivets. And the cost of the blue jeans in 1874 was $13.50 per dozen. Something tells me those jeans were not that comfortable.
You know, buy them by the dozen. any clothing item you're buying by the dozen, suspicious.
Aston Villa were one of the founding members of the Football League in 1888 and of the Premier League in 1992. Villa are one of only five English clubs to have won the European Cup in 1981 and 82. They have also won the Football League First Division seven times, the FA Cup seven times, the League Cup five times, and the European Super Cup once. Villa have a fierce rivalry with Birmingham City and the second city derby between the teams. Villa have a fierce rivalry with Birmingham City, and the, which is called the second city derby, and it's been played since 1879. I did not know that. That's a great name for a derby, sir. Second City Derby. And the club's traditional kit colors are claret, sky blue sleeves, sir. I actually like their clarets. I actually like their kits. They got the Lion. They got the Cavs of Jack Grealish, sir. I would be rooting for Aston Villa, you know, if Manchester United were in the Super League, for sure.
Luckily, that's not happening anytime soon. You know, the Glazers, depending on how long they just slink around this club, they might try it again in a couple years. The Glazers. What a name that is.
Hey, I like the fact they're chasing them around in the streets in America. That's a good sign. That's a real good sign. Avram Glazer doesn't look like he enjoys that. look at the physio room injuries. Martial's back in training, but, you know, he's probably not going to be back for this match. Like you said, lots of matches. Dan James, he's out for a little while. No detail from Ole, so unclear. And Phil Jones cashing those checks, sir. Given those injuries, what is your lineup for this one?
So we're going for this game. It's going to be Hendo and Net. AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw. I'm going to do Fred, Pogba, Bruno, and then a front three of Rashford on the left, Cavani up top, and Greenwood on the right. Let's attack these boys. Let's not play the, you know, industrial midfield of Fred and McTominay, but we will see. What do you got?
How dare you? I got Hendo, AWB, Maguire, Shaw. I'm playing the industrial midfield of Fred and McTominay. I'm doing Pogba on the left, Bruno in the hole. I'm put Rashford on the right and Cavani up top. I want to start getting Rashford and Cavani together. I'd like to see maybe them in more of a two. If Rashford kind of pushes up, he keeps the width but pushes up, maybe tries to find Cavani in from wide. I like them trying to connect more because Rashford's pace is unbelievable. And if he could find Cavani on his right foot in the box, I think that'd be a great combination.
Oh, I like it because he's got a good eye for a pass these days as well. He's more than just a out-and-out striker. He's a contributor, a playmaker as well. So good to see Rashford a little bit today. You know, we haven't seen enough of him. He's been nursing an injury for a long time. The guy's been injured for probably 2 years at this point. But, sir, he's going to have a role to play in this run of games.
Absolutely. Booking the bookies. Aston Villa underdogs plus 360, the draw plus 290, and Manchester United win minus 135. Heavy favorites, sir. The striker you were thinking of earlier is Ollie Watkins. He is plus 750 to score first. Cavani plus 440 to score first, and Bruno plus 460. They have Ahmad at plus 500, sir. That is quite the punt. I would love to see Ahmad get a start, but I doubt it. What's your score prediction given those are the bookies' odds?
I think it's going to be a tight match. Because Villa's, they're hard to break down. I think they're going to try and counter us. Call 1-0 penalty, Bruno Fernandes. Keep that streak alive. He likes a penalty against Villa when it matters.
We say 3-1, exciting game. We do it, and we're going to cement second place, sir, which is a big deal, and it should be all eyes on the trophy, all eyes on Europa League. It's going to be a hell of a week. The American Red Devils will be potting every single goddamn day. Every single goddamn day. Sir, we got some news. United in the news. You get this one. Manchester United links Sancho's asking price set to around £78 million as Dortmund lowered demands. Dortmund have lowered the asking price for Jadon Sancho to £78 million, with the English winger being allowed to explore his options under certain conditions. Essentially, that's quite the price drop from £108 million that Dortmund were initially asking for last summer. This does smell of one of those deals where the Glazers scum, they do it, but they do it a year too late, because Sancho could have been the difference between competing for the title and not competing for the title, because the right wing we were deficient at still this year. And it seems like they always do, like the center back signing with Maguire, always a year late, you know, and they drag their feet, and that only benefits them to take out more money out of the club, sir. So I think something with Sancho could get done, but it's going to be structured payments over time. So it's not $78 million up front, probably in total. But I think the Glazers are going to be looking to bring in Sancho or a player like Sancho to get the heat off their back, maybe those cameras out of their face down in Florida.
I hope so. You know, it's going to take a while to execute a sale. This is, you know, they are the day late, dollar short, you know, front office. Everything's late. Maguire was a year late. Bruno was a little late. Sancho, now it's a 30% price reduction, sir. And I know that their real asset they're worried about holding on to is Erling Haaland. So Jadon Sancho is a top player. He's got a relationship with a bunch of the United lads, a lot of the English blood in this United side. I'd be all about this. We keep Cavani. You got a right wing. If we can do some deals, some bargain bin center, we need a center back. He saw it today. You know, Baye, he looked all out of sorts. And we probably need a CDM. Otherwise, you want to keep Matic around for another year. But Sancho is a deal that, you know, if they're willing to do a structured deal and they want to take the heat off their back a little bit, with, you know, by doing a transfer, what's not to like?
Hey, I'll take Sancho. I mean, fuck the Glazers all day. Six ways to Sunday. But I'll take Jadon Sancho at Manchester United. And oh, by the way, I'll take a defender while you're at it. I'll take Declan Rice while you're at it. I know we're not going to get that. We'll probably get one, you know, Sancho is that. Dan James has got to be sold then, right? You get Sancho and, you know, depth of right. You got Ahmad, you got James, and you got Greenwood, and you got Sancho. You're starting to get, you know, you got to deal Green, it got to deal James at that point. So you got to be thinking about the ins and the outs and what this means for United. I'm sure Murtaugh has it all covered though, right?
Yeah, top guy. A regular football whiz, you know, brought in under tactical genius David Moyes. So what could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Hey, we're for hire here. America Red Devils. We're a tag team.
Package deal. Cheap. Package deal. Way D-O-F cheaper than Murtaugh.
And we do the podcast. Great marketing. Let's go. Next bit of news here. Per The Guardian, Glazers intend to stay and turn Manchester United into a $10 billion business. Have a laugh. Glazers have no plans to sell Manchester United, with the owner's long-term vision being to grow the club from its current $3 billion to $10 billion valuation. This is just total bullshit, sir. I mean, they're going to put so much smoke and mirrors in the press. They're selling the club. They're not selling the club. Now they're trying to posture like they aren't selling the club, because when you are marketing it in the press that you're going to sell, it makes you look desperate. So this is kind of a position of strength. It's smoke and mirrors. Yeah, the club did tell them that. But when you're doing M&A, there's a lot of posturing. So, you know, we're not selling for anything less than $4 billion. We're going to grow it to $10 billion. We're not going to sell. This is all them being cheeky. Again, you have to think about how the stock was structured. Malcolm Glazer bought the company. Then it was essentially divided into six equal parts for each of the Glazer children. Each of them hold probably $500 million. They're getting up there, 50, 60 years old. They want this money. They don't want to run this club till they're 70 or 80 to get the check, bro. They're taking loans out. Avram Glazer is selling his shares. This is sort of their trust fund kitty. They want to cash in. They're motivated sellers. It's really how old they are, how it was structured from their father. And they're just trust fund babies that want to get that big old check and buy those yachts. That's why Darcy Glazer took out loans against her shares. And that's why Avram Glazer sold his shares so he can buy more yachts, pop bottles, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to sell, sir. I told you, was it about a year ago? I said 3 to 5 years. It takes a time to sell a club. Any deal would take 6 to 9 months. There's a lot of moving parts that would have to be done for this to go through. And it's going to take years to get a suitor and then get a deal closed.
It will. Speaking of which, trust fund babies, like, could you have a haircut that bad and be a successful businessman? I don't think so, unless you inherited that money. But either way, I think you're absolutely right. They're posturing. The news broke that they wanted $4 billion in the Irish Times. Now, The Guardian, Jamie Jackson, you know, he's got an in with Ed Woodward and co. So, dude, they're playing the game. They're playing the game. They're trying to drive up the price. They say, we're not going anywhere. When they're like, $3.5 billion cash, we'll take it. all day. They're looking to sell. Hopefully they sell sooner rather than later. Hopefully one of these new tech billionaires, trazillionaires, maybe, you know, we talked about Mackenzie Bezos, sir. What's his name? Who's the other big divorce that happened this week?
Gates.
She's going to be flushed too. Why can't she buy us?
Sir, we're relying on like billionaire divorcees to like bail out Manchester United, sir. I think that's a long shot at best. Next bit of news here. Manchester United fans begin boycott of club sponsors and bid to put pressure on Glazers. Manchester United fans on social media everywhere been hashtag not a penny more, sir. Like I've said on this podcast, protests are amazing, but they phase out. The protests in 2010, they faded out. I think with fans, the number one way you get them to sell is you put pressure on them commercially, sir. Commercially. You don't buy the kits. You don't shop on the online store. I mean, I want to buy the Cavani Zebra 7. I mean, that's a fire kit. Not going to lie. Cavani keeps scoring. But the problem is you're giving the Glazers money. So it's a conflict. A lot of fans are conflicted. Buy a RVP shirt on eBay, sir. That's the way to do it. You know, you give fans some money instead of giving Glazers some money, and you get what you want as a United kit. So also a lot of team viewer reviews were really funny. The team viewer Trustpilot reviews, they got demolished. I like this movement, but sustainability, we got to keep the pressure on, sir. And again, like I said, I haven't bought anything from the online store for 3 years. I'm boycotting them on that front. And I think other fans should kind of come to the wiser and realize there's other ways, you know, to get a jersey or something like that. And then, the online store is how they're making their cash. So we gotta hit them where it hurts.
No, the markup is so high on what they're making. A lot of it is not top quality either. So fans are learning, and this is the best way to hurt them where it hurts. All they care about is the money coming in, continuing to roll in. So I think it's a very effective strategy. Too. Yeah, sponsors too, because they're gonna start wanting to back out, not re-up their deals, like not want to touch it while the Glazers own it, right? Because if they get negative press because they sponsor Manchester United and are putting money in the Glazers' pockets, that's a big move, and that will actually make a difference.
The sponsorship pressure is probably the number one way to really put heat on them. I like the online store. That's just more of like I think that's just more of a longer burn. But like putting pressure, like team viewers getting killed for sponsoring this club. And they're just like, I thought we were just buying a logo on a jersey. And then all of a sudden, this is the Glazers out thing. We're getting murdered. You know, so I'm sure they're calling them. I'm sure there's a lot going on. Let's just turn up the heat on the Glazers and you know, like keep up the pressure.
Let's enjoy the show. It's going to be a fun, interesting summer. Let's hope it has some silverware and that Hans and Franz beat, you know, keep us occupied.
Totally, sir. Let's jump into it. Fan questions. Thank you to everyone who got us some hot banner on Twitter. It was flying, sir, after the match. Jump in here at JDW300. David De Gea was man of the match. Can't debate that. Schmeichel said it. If David De Gea doesn't make the saves he did, we're out. Second string is very visible drop from the first and needs to be sorted. Saying that, it's time to bring home some silverware, secure Champions League, and finish the season strong.
That's what it's all about. David De Gea saved us, shows that he still has a role to play at this club. And now it's all about eyes in the final. Wednesday night, bright lights of Gdansk. Can't wait. I wish I could go to Poland for the final, sir. It's going to be a hot one.
Totally. Next one, at @DavyT_, quote, love Cavani defending his son. Give us one more year, Eddie. Let's go win a fucking trophy. Let's go. Come on. I would silverware, baby. It's like finishing the season strong, getting a trophy, sir. The year we've all been through. COVID, no fans, tons of games, the players, everyone ready for the summer. Let's finish it out strong. Ole's going in the summer in a great position, having that trophy. It's not the trophy we want, but it's a positive stepping stone for our manager who's been learning on the job and improving, and the team is getting better and better and better.
It is, and I think you win a trophy, it's going to be go a long way to help Eddie stay around and maybe even Paul Pogba to sign that new bumper deal. It might make the difference. And you know what? The best part is like...
Are you really buying that now?
I don't know. Maybe. Partly. Could be. He's playing hell. Like, he didn't look great today. I think he's better playing more up front. But I don't expect the Glazers to replace him. So we'll see. It's a big summer for that. But you know what the good thing is, sir? Is we win the Europa League, we get to play one of City and or Chelsea in the Super Cup. at the end of the summer. That'd be fun.
That would be a lot. Great point. Great point. I wasn't even thinking about that. We got to win it. At T. Zolski, well, sirs, it certainly wasn't pretty. The semifinal curse is finally broken. Dave Saves bailed us out when we needed him most. And what can you say about El Matador? Now on to the crazy finish in the Premier League. Green and gold till the club is sold. Love to hear that one. At Jake N12, quote, without David De Gea, we're not going to Gdansk, period. He was superb tonight, especially in the first 15 of the second half. Other than David De Gea, Cavani, and Bruno, no one shown. DVB looked lost for the majority of portions of the game. Rotation will be key in the next 7 days. Would you make a Donny van de Beek? He was kind of in the mix trying to get forward, trying not to get forward. I thought he kind of got a little lost there.
You know, he had some moments and he looked really class. You know, he looked, his link-up play in the box looked good, but he was tracking back. The team was all out of sorts. And he, to be honest, he hasn't had a lot of minutes. So it's going to be kind of like a long step up in a game where a team is desperate to score goals, throwing bodies forward. Dude, he's going to have a role to play now with this tight schedule. 3 games in 5 days in the Premier League against good sides. You know, those are like three solid, they're all in the top half of the table. He's got to have a role to play. And I think he has a big role to play at this club because he's a class player. Just needs some more minutes.
At Roland Deep 1995, quote, I hope that we get this out of our system and we'll defend well in the finals. Time to play Unai Emery in Gdansk. Well done, team. On to a busy few days. It's going to be a busy few days. And we got the Scouse Bastard, sir. And it's going to be great. I'm very excited for some football. At United Dondo, quote, what a wild game. We looked out of sorts defensively, but our attack is still looking lovely and dangerous. Love to see Cavani score and coming to Mason's defense. We have a close-knit team, it seems. I'm excited to see how he finished the season. Donnie looked great. Sir, there's a lot of other cheeky banner in here. At Calizona Cat, Arsenal blows. That's it. That's the tweet.
It's true.
Had to read that one out. We're going to close here at Maba 13. Quote, on to the final. De Gea, brilliant. I absolutely loved Cavani. Ready to throw hands to defend Mason. I was harsh on the signing, but I'm such a massive fan now. I hope he is back next season knocking in headers in front of the Stretford end. Boy, can he head a ball.
Unbelievable. He's such a player. I mean, he's such a player. Modern number nine. He's kind of like our Zlatan, sir. We needed Zlatan then. We need Cavani now. Now we need him to stay here and stay healthy, and we could be on to some good things.
Absolutely, sir. You know, another Europa League final. There you go. Look, that's it. That's the podcast. You like the American Devils? We are four fans by fans. You want to support us, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We have a great online store. You can visit that, www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. Also check out our blog with great fan-generated content. Write a review on iTunes. Sir, give us our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Columbus, Ohio. Appreciate all of you. Dublin, Ireland. Long Beach, California. Jacksonville, Florida. Camden, New Jersey. Lima Vitae, UK. Where you at? Appreciate you. New York, New York, Chicago, Illinois, Brooklyn, New York, and last but not least, Kenny Bunkport, Maine. We also got Garbsen, Germany, at number 11. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out, around the globe, keeping it hot. It's been a hell of a year. It's going to be a hell of a couple of weeks. We're going to be going pods like every 48 hours, but you know what? Pod never sleeps. We'll explain to the wives later. It's all for the greater good. Can't wait. Big May for us. Huge.
My wife has no idea the Scouse Bastards game was rescheduled. She has no idea when it was. I'm going to tell her I got a lot of pods next week. She's going to be thrilled. Look, it's a great time to be a United fan. Big, strong finish to the season, sir. Can't wait. And as always,
kicking a blue.